morning, everyone. And I thought we had one more song to sing, so I wasn't ready. So, yeah, it's all good. It's all good. So, yes, we had a bowling day yesterday. And so I couldn't roll it as good as I thought I could. I haven't been bowling for a while, so my body is just, I think it's just I'm getting older, that's all. And then Mr. Phil Fisher throws this joke at me and says, you know what the bowlers union does or what they say? I was like, what? He goes, they went on strike. I'm like, come on, dude. And then he said, I made that up. Phil's witty for sure. Palm Sunday's coming up. We're going to finish this spiritual warfare series we're going through. Next week we're going to finish it up, and then the week after that is Palm Sunday. We'll throw out some pieces, but we really want to break 100 on Palm Sunday. We want to break 100, and if we don't, we're going to push it to Easter, but we're going to really try to break 100 on Palm Sunday. I think it's a good time to invite your family and your friends and get out there and try that again with some that you've asked. Maybe they told you no in the past. Maybe it's a time to pray and ask God to soften their hearts. I'd rather them come on Palm Sunday and Easter than one of these spiritual warfare series, but it's all good. God can work through all of it anyway. But we're going to try to break that 100 mark. Really looking forward to trying to do that. May God bless that area. We have been growing, but we'd like to see that. Just want to let you know, when we started New Life, you know, we started it. It's almost like we had to grow this church twice. First time we were on it, we were rolling good. Easter hit 140, 149. And we started talking about ministries. And about the time we opened up the Women's Life House, we took a big dive. 2012, the year before when we bought the house, we took a big dive. Those people are no longer with us. Love them, but they're no longer with us. Had to rebuild this church. The people that had the blood of the vision, it was the same as Moses leading the people out of Egypt. Took them all the way up the promised land, let them look at it. Some went in, believed, we can do this thing. Others didn't. And those who didn't, they're not with us anymore. Because you had to also find out that this church wasn't about yourself. It's not about self, it's not about me. I'm replaceable and so are you, but Jesus is not. And this is God's and he's blessed it. And so we've had to rebuild this church twice and we're on the upswing again. And I'm thankful to God for that. And we had to raise up a younger generation to help do a lot of the work here. Just like God had to wait for the people to grow up, the younger people to grow. As the younger people just fade, most of the young older people faded out. Doesn't mean that it was all bad. There was a lot of good there. Love had a lot of salvations, a lot of good things. Fought a lot of spiritual warfare in the time, but this is where we are. We're rebuilding this church again. It's building it again. Want to just throw a couple of things out to you also as well. As leadership training is this week, it is Thursday. Want to challenge you to be there. You don't have to be on staff to be there. You don't have to be in any ministry leadership to be there, but you will learn. We do it in two sessions this year. We try to do it once a quarter, but I don't always get it. But Pastor Mitch from Birmingham is going to do one of the sessions, and then I. So we'll do it over here, and we'll have some snacks and stuff. But that is this Thursday at 6:30. So I need you to be there. If you're staff, you need to be there. But I would love to see some of the other people rise up if you want to kind of get a part of that, and should be good as well. And then the other part I want to share is Alabama is coming. They're actually on their way. They left at 5 o'clock before most of us were up. Definitely before I was up. So they were in their vehicles heading this way. So there's 20-some heading from Birmingham. And then they'll be with us tonight. And they'll be with us through, and they're leaving on Friday morning. And then Saturday comes in Georgia. Valdosta, Georgia will come in. Redland will be coming in with a smaller group. But they will be here. And then we have a couple more teams coming in this summer. And then the group that's coming tonight is actually coming again from Birmingham two times. And they're coming, bringing a bigger group in July. So we're looking forward to that. So a lot going on here at New Life. A lot going on here at New Life. You can just be a spectator and watch it, or you can jump in the game and see what God is doing. And what we're doing today is looking at spiritual warfare. So in your bulletin, there is a second sheet there. I usually don't give you my notes, but this series I decided to. So you will see my grammar errors, Eddie. You will find those errors in there that will bother you. I did not let Savannah edit it for me, and now I wish I did, because the more I look at it, the more I go, wow, I put this out for everybody. But see, I know how I write. If I misspell a word, sometimes I don't fix it because I'm just off to my next thought. If I don't, I'm going to lose my thoughts. Then I come back. But sometimes you can have a word spelled correctly. You just have the wrong word. But spiritual warfare is something I believe that all Christians will face in their walk on this side of heaven. So, Father, Lord, we, as we come tonight in this second part of our series, in the middle of it, I pray, Lord, that your Spirit will move upon a way that only you can and reveal to us, Lord, there are some things we need to learn, some things we need to take serious, such as our walk with you and our life and our walk in this life. May you be with us during this time that we may have ears to hear and eyes to see what you'd have for us individually, but also as a church, that we might grow up in our walk with you and become more mature in our Christianity. Be with us today in this service, that we would give you honor, but that your Spirit would just speak to us in these next few minutes. And we give it to you in Christ's name. Amen. Spiritual warfare is something I want to tell you what I'm not going to talk a lot about. As I said, I'm not going to talk a lot about a lot of experiences. That's another day and another time. But I may share a few things from time, but I'm not going to get deep into some of those things. But because what I'm trying to do is not to give you testimony of the things I've seen or heard or what others have, but for how for you to be able to handle when those attacks come in your own life. Because some of you have been attacked in your life, and some of you knew it, that it was spiritual, and others did not, or you found out later. So we're going to talk about that spiritual warfare. What is it? Really, spiritual warfare is when darkness comes, the dark entities. We know that the battle is spiritual, but flows into the physical at times. Read the book of Job and you'll see what I mean. But spiritual warfare is when the dark forces begin to attack your life, and they do it for a purpose. To keep you from being all that God wants you to be. To keep you from sharing the gospel with your family. To keep you from sharing the gospel with a friend. To keep you from just actually stepping out and actually say you're going to pray for someone. Because the dark side knows when you pray and you do it with the right spirit, there's power in that prayer. Which we'll be talking about next week. Last week we talked about the different forces in darkness that there is. We talked about what it might look like if you were in spiritual warfare. When we talked about an attack on your family and your resources were being all taken out and you didn't understand, you were taking one hit, after another and after another. You go, there's something going on here. And we were talking about that could be a part of spiritual warfare and spiritual attack. And today we're going to move on into the scriptures. We're going to move on and we're going to be Ephesians chapter 6. I want to tell you just as much as you are, as I'm going to share this story, as you turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. I did want to share one. I'm not going to get deep into it, but I want to share one. You got up this morning and you came to church because there's something about the house of God you wanted to be in. Because not just because it's a building, but because there are other believers here in the house too. We fellowship, we worship together, and it honors God. I want to tell you there are those who do worship Satan. They do gather together. Just as much as many times you came down and you made a vow and you said, God, I'm not going to do that no more. Sometimes we do, don't we? And we ask God to forgive us, and God says, okay. Sometimes you come down and you pray for certain things, and you pray that your kids would, that God would intervene, and you give your kids and say, Lord, I don't know what else to do. And so you plead your requests to God. Because Scripture says that we're to go to the throne boldly with our requests to God. But I also want to remind you that there are those who go to Satan as well. In this town here, I did go to a home where it came to a place where I couldn't figure it out, but I was listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I needed to speak to this one person. And I said, what did you do? And she did not want to say anything. She said, nothing, nothing. But I kept pressing on. I said, something's up with your daughter, you asked me to be here. I didn't come. You asked me to be here. And basically what she would end up finally say, she finally broke, and I knew that when she broke, she says, I promise not to tell. Basically what it came out, I said, well, you're talking about your three-year-old daughter here. What is it? What is it? Because she is petrified. She is terrified. She don't even want to go back into her own bedroom. I couldn't even get her. All I could get her to do was turn her face and point at a wall, which was the same wall with the closet. She would say something big and ugly would come out, and we all kind of grew up. But let me tell you something. We all kind of had that moment when we were fearful of the dark. But she had every right to be fearful. Her mother said that, I promise not to tell, and I'm going to probably get in trouble. But my grandmother made a pact with Lucifer that every firstborn female in their family belonged to Satan. And that's here in Huntington. Don't tell me everybody in church is a God-fearing person. I said, you got a problem. You have a problem, and you have a very serious problem. The world would laugh at you and call it a joke. But your family has messed around on the wrong side of the fence. Your family has given the firstborn of the female of every generation belongs to him. And I said, I would guess the bet that you're a first generation too. And she said, yes, I am. And this is your one and only daughter. Yes, she is. Spiritual warfare is something that comes to the believer. But I want to let you on a side note, knowing that Satan is also working in other things to get control of people, get control of their lives, to get ownership in their family and into their bloodline. We're not to be messing with those things. We have the Spirit of God, amen? That leads us and guides us in a world that is dark. And many times it is evil. And that attack goes to people that are non-believers. And they consume and they possess. But when it comes to the believers, such as you and I, it comes into an attack form. Because you have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 13. I know we ended with 13 last week, but it's still, this is the connection from last week to this week. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, here's what we're talking about. We talked about it last week. We need to stand firm. We need to stand firm. Satan will give you, as a Christian, Satan, one of the biggest things that Satan will throw at you is begin to give you and to desire for you to have the spirit of fear. If you were in Sunday's life group this morning and you were in a couple of them, you would understand that there was this part in there about Paul telling Timothy about the spirit of fear. That God didn't give it to us, but he gave us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But we see here that he tells the people we need to stand firm with the full armor of God. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Paul is telling this piece in this scripture that we are looking at it as like a soldier. That we are like Christians that are Christian soldiers. We are to put on the full armor of God. And there's a purpose for it. There is a purpose for it because attacks will happen. And I want to remind you that just attacks begin most of the time right here. Right here. Right here. But sometimes they happen around you and then it goes to here to let you see the devastation that can happen, to how much satanic can ravage and give havoc in your life. This is not a message to get you to become fearful. It's to know that you're strong in the Lord. I do want to add that Paul also writes in the first, he also writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, he also writes that there is a spiritual gift of discernment, which also helps. Not getting all into that a lot, but I'll just let you know the gift of discernment is knowing spiritually what is real, what is true, what is of God, and what is false, what is of the darkness. That helps a lot too. I believe we all have a level of discernment, but there is a gift of discernment. And if you ever have a gift, I just want to remind you, do not use your gift in the wrong way. The gift of discernment many people use in a negative way to judge. You have to be careful how you use that gift. If you have the gift of discernment, be careful. The part that can work against you is that you begin to judge people. All right? So here's what we do. We're going back and we're looking at the belt of truth. This is the part that girds up. This is the part that holds up everything. This is about truth. Every one of us need to have integrity. Amen? If you don't have integrity, you don't have anything. Every one of these are very, very valuable. And so truth is all that God is. And the truth shall set you what? Free. Free indeed, yes. So the truth matters. But with the truth, there also in spiritual warfare becomes false things. And there might be some truth in it, but there's some false things weaved inside of it. I'm going to jump over here to John chapter 8 for just a second. He says this in verse 44. You belong to your father. Jesus says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So what do we see here? We see that Jesus is all about truth. God is all truth. And the Holy Spirit speaks truth. But Satan himself, the dark side, they lie. And Satan himself is the father. I didn't say it. Jesus said he is the father of lies. Then I come right out of Jesus' mouth. And he called him a liar. And not that he was a liar, but he is the father of all lies. Go back to the Garden of Eden, chapter 3, and you'll see how good he can lie. But we see that we need to have the belt of truth, which wraps around all of us. All of me. The belt of truth. You know what? As a Christian, you know when you don't say the truth. Before you were saved, you didn't really care. You got what you wanted, you did, you used whatever words you wanted to manipulate whatever partial truth. You didn't care because you said you were still a good person. Because you size yourself up to other people. And you may have been more morally better than other people to a point. But when it comes to God, it comes to Christ, God expects truth. He expects us to be truthful. To stand strong and know that what we do, that we do it in truth, that is real, that is of God. And we're not going to face these, we can't face these unless we are truthful. For when truth is compromised, then we're compromised. This is why when men get up to preach, they need to pray, and we pray, I know. Lord, don't let false words come out. Because we are all human. Don't pray agendas. Preach the word. But we need to have truth. Can I just tell you also that when you walk into a room, before you walk into the room, you know, you walk into a room, you enter into that doorway, people have already sized you up. Your character is in front of you. Who you are is already in front of you. it should be truth. I'm not saying I'm a Christian. I don't have to say anything. When I walk into a doorway going in, you walk into a doorway, people that know you should say, that's a Christian. Without any words. Because you know them and they're of truth. But not only truth. Paul writes that we need to have this breastplate of righteousness, and it needs to be in its place. This is the protector of your core. This is a shield that you wear on your body. It protects your heart, your main vital area organs, per se. It's where we would just say your mind, your heart, your soul. It is the protector of your whole core. And Satan loves to attack your core. Satan loves to attack your core. But everything that you are, he will attack. And he will poke at it. And he will shoot those fiery darts. And he plays on your attention. He plays on your emotions. So many of us make decisions out of emotion. We have to be careful how we make our decisions. Not that emotions lead us, but that the Holy Spirit leads us. Especially if you are quick to anger or quick to judge. Or you jump on any bandwagon or you're a follower. You got to be very careful not to let your heart lead you, but the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's one of the biggest things as being a believer. When you come to Christ, you're no longer in charge of yourself. You don't let your emotions make all your decisions. You don't let you let the Holy Spirit lead you. This is why we need to be in prayer in all that we do. Because the attacks are coming, and it may not be happening to you today, but there are some, I know a church this size right now today, there are some of you that are going through an attack. Some of you know it, some of you may not. Some of you wonder when it's going to end. But I also want to remind you that through Christ, you're going to get through that. But as you get through that, somebody else is coming through the door. And they're getting ready to get hammered. But the breastplate of righteousness covers it all. Covers your whole front. Breastplate of righteousness. If you went into today's military, you would go in and say on you have a military, maybe a flak jacket. I don't know what all they use now today, but they had a flak vest back when I went. But regardless, there was a name over here. It's a U.S. Army over here, and your name over here. Let me just tell you, your name is on your chest, but also God is on your chest. You represent, you are supposed to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, you are representing Him and yourself. And you need to put that on every single day. Because righteousness is Christ-like living. Your life should be an example on how Christ wants you to live. And when we fail, we sin, we go to Christ, and we seek that, and we just have a talk with Jesus. As the old hymn says, just have a little talk with Jesus, and you work that out with Him. And give Him some time to speak. Don't just take the microphone all the time. But the breastplate of righteousness has got your name on it. And you got one name, and I'm telling you what, you know what it's like when you mess your name up. When you mess your name up, it takes a long time to rebuild. It takes a long time to rebuild. You can do it. You're not going to do it on your own, though. You can only redo it in Jesus Christ. But not only does God want us to have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness, He also says, you'll see my grammar error, this should be the feet shod, this protection that has on the gospel of your feet. So this is about, this piece right here, people get a little bit confused, but let me tell you, this is the part where your body, your legs and your feet take you forward. It takes you into a direction, left, it takes you left, takes you right, takes you forward, takes you back. Your legs and your feet take you places. And the first part of the scripture piece was that you stand firm, that you don't run. There is no rear shield for anything when you run. Everything's in the front. You stand. You face it. But it is about being able to work through what you're going through. Because sometimes spiritual warfare is allowed to happen to you because it's just use it, testing of your faith. Because you got more things that are coming up around the corner. Some of you got things coming up in your life 10, 15 years from now that you're not going to be able to go through until you go through the ones you're going through right now. Those will help you work through the spiritual warfares that you're going to go through in the future. And the more, I'm going to tell you this, the more you're in the ministry, the more you will go through it. You will go through it. We are called to stand firm. And even when we're doing it and going through spiritual warfare, we are still have a peace inside of us. We are still called to share the gospel. Even when we are battled through, we are going through spiritual attacks, we still share the gospel. We still share about how awesome God is. Once again, read the book of Job. You'll see even God allowing the hammering from Satan to be on Job himself. Job still said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Still praising God in the middle of the storm. And still being able to do what he needed to do. But we are still called to share the gospel and be the gospel. Share it. And live it out so others can see that you don't run to the bar because things get south. You don't run off and split in your marriage because you had a moment. You don't run and you don't run and use again because you had a bad week. You don't run town because you messed up. You face it. You face it. But not only with that, because one of my favorite pieces is the shield of faith. The shield of faith is something that you have to grasp onto. You see, the breastplate moves when you move. It is a part of you. And the belt is a part of you. All these are part of you. But the shield of faith you have to grab a hold of. And on any kind of shield that they would use would always have the emblem of what they represented. And I believe any Christian with the shield of faith has a lot of dings on it, a lot of dents, a lot of cracks. It's been tested. It's been used. You have to hold on to the shield of faith. But I'm afraid sometimes we lay it down. We still got our breastplate on. We still got the other things on. But we lay the shield down. The shield takes the blunt. It takes the heavy hits. You still may feel some of the impact, but the shield is the first thing that takes the hit. This is why you need that faith increase. You can ask Jesus to increase your faith. And once again, we know that there is a spiritual gift of faith as well. But we all have a measure of faith. And we have to remember to use the shield of faith because it deflects those arrows that Satan fires at us, that the dark side fires at us, like temptation and doubts and the feelings and thoughts of worthlessness. How many of you looked in the mirror and said, I don't feel like I'm worth much? Did you know that don't come from the Holy Spirit? That comes from the other side. You get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, you may have a fight with your spouse, and you go in the mirror and you go, I don't know if this is worth it. I'm the worst husband, I'm the worst wife. Maybe I should ask for a divorce. Let me remind you, that's not of the Lord. If Satan can destroy the family, it is a master win. It is a victory. I believe Satan has too many victories. I know we always say Jesus won the victory. He did. These others are battles. But let me tell you something. When you're in a marriage and you got an issue, it don't feel like no battle. It's a war. When you have thoughts and you don't feel good about yourself and you think you're unworthy, you think you're nobody, you feel like a loser, let me tell you, that's not a battle. That's a war going on inside of you because you know those thoughts aren't real, but you're trying to push them back. But every time you push them back, another thought comes in. And it's wise to know that when you get those thoughts that, oh, I got to go see my doctor, I got to get this pill, I got to go do this. I know there's some of that may work, but I'm telling you, you need to get it right with the Lord because some of these things are not physical. They all roll into the physical, but they are coming from the spiritual side. Because when Jesus saved you, you became a part of the family of God. You are a child of God now. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You can accomplish things you never could accomplish, not because how great you are, but how great God is. I would not do it, but I would imagine there are half of our marriages are saved by Jesus Christ. Some of us would be divorced already today. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. But that shield of faith has protected me more times than I can even remember. Because sometimes when I don't see anything, all I have sometimes is that faith in that moment. I need that faith to press on. How many of you in your later life had a thought, I wonder if the salvation stuff is really true? Where did that come from? You're flowing along in life and that thought come. It's not of the Lord. If you hang on to doubts, doubts will con you to believe that that is actually not a doubt anymore, but that is truth. And it's a lie from the pits of hell. Because if you ask Christ into your life and you know that salvation was real at one time, it is real today. Which moves us into the helmet of salvation. It protects the head. Satan is a headhunter. Salvation is a knowing of it. Salvation is you knowing that my life here is not the end of life, but that it is eternal. Salvation gives us eternal life with Christ. And the headgear protects. The helmet protects. It should protect a lot of those negative thoughts that we have. Those thoughts that says, of my salvation real? Was my baptism real? Is my relationship with Christ real? Satan will attack that. And he'll wait and he'll attack it again. And you get through it, he'll attack it again. He loves to attack this area. And then you'll have doubts about a loved one. When they breathe their last and you know they were a Christian and you can tell by the way they live their life and they profess Jesus Christ. And then when they die, there's thoughts and it comes into your mind. I wonder if they're in heaven. I wonder if they're with the Lord. I wonder if they're with the Lord. I don't know today. I'm not sure. And then we have these battles. Then we start thinking about our own salvation. Let me tell you, you need to stick with what you know. And what you know is what God has told you. When you call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. You need to know that your salvation is real. And salvation defines the lost and the saved. We shouldn't wonder if someone is saved or not. But we do. Now, if somebody's unsure, then of course they say, I'm unsure. I don't know if what I did. Sometimes there is a piece there where somebody has to work that out. And you work it out with the Lord, and sometimes somebody has to help them through a little bit of that. But the helmet of salvation is something that we put on every day. And once we put the breastplate on, we put our belt on, we got our protection on our feet. We got our shield, we got our helmet on, we got all that stuff. We have a free hand. One's holding the shield and we got a free hand. And that hand is to hold the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It has helped me through every spiritual warfare attack in my life. Every time I've been through it, it has been the Word of God that has helped me through it. Because I know this, and we know this, that the Spirit, the Word, God's Word, the Bible, is only going to speak truth. Correct? Only going to speak truth. So when I read it, I know what I'm reading is truth. It is real. It is God's Word. So that I know when I need those scriptures, that I can shout out those scriptures that you got memorized when you're going through a struggle, that you can hear those voices saying, I'm a loser, I feel like I'm worthless, but you can shut that down. No, I am not those things. I am not those things. I am a child of God. I am an ambassador of God because God's Word tells me so. You can go through those points and you can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because He is with me. I can pick these verses out and you pick them out and you start rambling the verses off and you're sitting there knowing you're going through an attack. And I'm telling you, sometimes the more you rip out a verse, the stronger the spiritual warfare starts coming. But you know, this is why it means you stand strong. You keep pushing. You keep pushing with your shield of faith, knowing what you're doing is right because God is with you. And you're going to start ripping those verses off. And they're going to come out. And they got power behind them. That's where the faith comes in. That's where the faith comes in. You know what else is used with a shield? Shield pushes. A push. It pushes. It's a pushing like pushing a wall in the forward direction. And your faith is doing that when you are sharing, reading the scriptures, and you're reading, walking through something, and you need the word to come to life and to protect you and to lead you through the storm in your life. But sometimes it's in those storms where we feel like in spiritual warfare, God's not there. But I want to tell you, when you're going through it and you start rattling off those scriptures and you pick a chapter and you read through it and you're working through it and you're using those, I'm telling you, it's like God is like right. I mean, He's never left you, but I'm telling you, it's in that moment that He wants that moment sometimes, because that's where you get real with Him. That's where your stuff gets real. You're no longer in control of everything. You're asking God to be a part of what you're going through. When you lose a loved one, young, old, it's heartbreaking. When you lose a job, it can be heartbreaking. And the scriptures helps us through those things. I have a list here. It says, when the weapons for defense or offense, I believe the scripture is both defensive and used for offense. You push back. This is what I know what Scripture does. Just a few. The Scripture tells me how to get saved. It protects me. It tells me that God's got me in the palm of His hand. It encourages me. The Scriptures encourage me. I can go to the book of Philippians and get encouraged as a pastor. But if I want to be encouraged as an individual, I can go back to the early parts of David and to the Psalms and know that God is there in the most inner parts of the painful parts of my personal life, that God is there. Because I'm not the only one that has went through it, but others has as well. But also gives me confidence that when I go, like Nehemiah, to the king, that even though that I'm standing before people that are stronger and bigger than me in positions and things, I have one that is stronger than them, that I can get the courage to speak as I should. And to give confidence from God. But also, He strengthens. And I'm like Samson. and have no strength. You're like Samson, you have no strength. You can call upon God, and God can give you the strength that you need for that moment, and you'll be able to do things you can never do on your own. The courage to be able to walk through the darkness, walk through the valley of darkness, walk through the valley of death, walk into a home where demonic is all. Not that just demonic is there, but they praise demonic. Being able to walk in there, knowing that you're walking in one of their homes, giving you the courage to do it. It's not because you have the courage, it's because God has given it to you through the Holy Spirit. You're walking in the Holy Spirit courage, but also knowledge. There's things in the Word that I never knew about. But God's Word has given knowledge, full knowledge, and something that you'll never grasp all of it on this side of heaven. But wow, reading His Word, knowledge just keeps coming up. My knowledge is getting stronger in Jesus. So is yours, I hope. But wisdom, how to know what's right and wrong, and how to know how to push forward and how to use what you got, the knowledge, and how to use it correctly in spiritual warfare, that is important. Not to let your emotions lead, but the Holy Spirit's wisdom. But God's Word also tells me that Jesus is a healer. There's been times I needed my heart healed. There's been times that people have been needed healed on a highway down in Georgia where a person was dead. I was able to pray and be able to pray, and God healed that person, brought that person back to life. But also in Germany where it didn't happen, and it did not happen there. And I prayed over that woman, and it did not happen. And I asked God after the second one, how come this one lived and that one didn't? And God said this, when I was looking in that mirror in that gas station and my hands were bloody, He said, because your life wasn't right with me back in Germany. It wasn't right and your prayers were weak. But today you follow me and your prayers are powerful because you let me be in your life and let me live in your life. God's Scripture heals. It tells me that there's a great healer. God's Scripture also teaches me there are wrongs and there are rights. There are ways to do things and ways not to do things. It teaches me that God was the Creator, not a big boom. But also that teaches me that there is more after life on earth. That there is a promise of eternal life. That's what the Scriptures teach me. But also corrects me, tells me that when I lie, I break the Lord's heart. But that when men's thoughts are all wicked, that also that you can grieve God's heart. That's what the Scriptures do. It gives me instructions. It gives me instructions on how to do how we do communion. That there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. God's Word also tells us that there's a part in there where He rebukes. He rebukes even those who He loves. He disciplines those whom He loves. And He does it out of love. And it tells that there's consequences when you mess up. But that His love is still there. But Scripture also tells me about history. That I can learn about a man named Gideon. That I can learn about a man named Solomon. A man named Jonah. A man named Nehemiah. A woman named Ruth. And a woman that no one would care about. But God found a way to make her important, a prostitute Rahab. And God shows in His Word about my future. Now my future, if I choose Him, it's with Him. If I choose to go against Him, I'm against Him. And I'm away from Him. And I know that those things are hard sometimes when you're going through spiritual warfare. Because when you're in spiritual warfare, what you have a tendency to do is you have a tendency to focus on the problem. Focus on all the hits. And sometimes they just keep coming. And I want to share something with you. And John says this, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. You will have trouble in this world. This world is not all about fun and games. It is a lot of problems of heartache and brokenness. And you will have trouble. You can't go out in the mountains in Alaska and hide from it all. What are you going to do when you have health problems and you have no way of getting back? People think they can be a hermit. Isolate. I'm telling you, when you do that, you already have a problem. But he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But in this world you will have trouble. But he says this, take heart, I have overcome the world. Thank God for Jesus Christ. I could share with you all day about spiritual warfare and about the things that I've went through just in my life. But I'm sure some of you could as well. I don't mean to put you on the spot, hon, but she's my niece. I love her. But there was a time I knew she was going through something. I didn't think she knew that she was going through. But I just made a phone call one day. The Holy Spirit hit me and said, you need to call Ashley tonight. And you need to tell her two things. Two words. Come home. She's not the first person to hear that. I heard those same words in New York at Fort Drum. Time come home. When the Holy Spirit doesn't have to explain anything to you, when he says something, he makes you understand it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, spiritual warfare is to get you to look at the problem and pull you away from God, to do it all and try to fight it all in your own strength. Jesus says this, yeah, it's a problem, but I've overcome it. Put your eyes and fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That's what Scripture says in Hebrews. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Even though you got problems, you fix your eyes on Jesus. And I'm telling you, it's still going to be tough, but I'm telling you, it's going to be a lot easier doing it with Jesus than doing it without Jesus. I'm going to close with this. You can't afford to lay your armor down. David laid his armor down. 2 Samuel chapter 11. He laid his armor down, looked across the rooftops and saw a woman that wasn't his. Another wife of some other man. Samson had a moment where he laid his armor down. You see, when you lay your armor down, you are totally vulnerable. Sin creeps in, takes over, and Satan does what he does. He rips a person's life apart. If you're saved, he can't take your salvation, but he will make your life miserable. But it didn't have to be. David laid his armor down. He picked it back up. But there was a price to pay. Samson laid his armor down and got it back up. But there was a price to pay. I laid my armor down. And there was a price to pay. And I'll never forget a price I paid. We're not guaranteed a perfect life here. Actually, we're guaranteed a life of trouble. But it's not a life without hope. And our hope is only in one, and that is in Jesus Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. And if you don't think they can get it together, nobody can. Fathers, we come to a place in our time of the service. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit has spoken to each person in a way that only you can do, whatever it needs to be. I pray, Lord, for those who are struggling with spiritual warfare. I pray, Lord, that they would work that out with you today and get their eyes fixed back upon you and not on the thing, not on the problem, not on the issues. Lord, be with us in this time of response. In Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.